You know there's more to this world than what you're told. Paranormal phenomenon, supernatural forces, government conspiracies, alien visitors. Step out of the world you see, open up your mind, and get ready for another round of strange at the Supernatural Radio Show with Corrine DeWinter and Nino Del Padre. Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. Listen up, world. Here's Corrine and Nino.
Hello and good evening, everybody. I am not with Nino tonight. I am actually with Karen Kay, who's luckily my co-host on nights that Nino can't make it. So I am here with Karen. And we have a super, super talented guest tonight. Her name's Mary Helen Hensley. I have not yet met Mary Helen. Karen has, and she's going to share some of her experience with Mary Helen. But Mary Helen is a psychic medium. She's also a doctor. In December 1991, Mary Helen was involved in a car accident that was to change her life forever. With vivid clarity, she was able to recount all that took place during her near-death experience, along with a reconnection to her life's purpose. After the accident, a lifelong ability to communicate with those in spirit, coupled with the gift to see future events, was enhanced by a new endowment to touch an individual, and this is in quotes, download their past and use this information to facilitate healing. In a way, this was fortunate for her clients as it allowed Mary Helen to concentrate on her metaphysical interests and gifts. In her current healing work, Mary Helen has helped hundreds turn anguish to insight, distress to discernment, and heartbreak to healing. Many individuals have healed themselves of life-threatening diseases under her guidance, reclaiming their lives and moving forward with a new understanding of the intricate links between the mind, body, and spirit. Mary Helen is the author of 3 books published with Book Hub Publishing based in Galway, Ireland, including Promised, that is from 2009, Circles of Light, which came out in 2010, and The Land Beyond the River, 2012. Her fourth book, The Pocket Coach, is scheduled for publication this month, and we will be taking calls, of course, as you guys know, listening during the second half of the show. And as soon as Mary Helen logs in and gets here, she's in Ireland, so it's a little bit late over there right now, but we're waiting for her to call in. And we probably shortly afterward will start taking phone calls because there's a lot of you already on hold, and I appreciate you holding. So, Karen, you actually met Mary Helen on the Queen Mary in the ship in Long Beach last month, correct?
Correct. When Waishali did the Heal What Ails You conference. She was part of that.
So what was your experience with her? Did she give you a reading or a healing?
Well, first of all, we call the Queen Mary the Queen Scary because it's probably a lot of you know that it's famous for being haunted. And one of the things we all did as a group is we went on one of the ghost tours. And Mary Helen was on the tour, and, you know, we were all taking pictures trying to get, you know, you take a picture without a flash in haunted areas where you sense, you know, activity and hopefully get a picture of an orb or you know, some kind of weird light that's not part of the ambient light in the room, and, you know, everybody compares pictures afterwards, and It's pretty incredible what happened because Mary Helen would get all the pictures of these white orbs and I'd be standing almost next to her taking the same pictures and none of them came out on my camera. And I think she was using a camera phone too, I'm not sure. But I mean, it wasn't like a special effects camera or anything like that. But
Right.
The thing is, she can see them. She sees them first, and that's how she knows when to take the picture or where to take the picture, because she actually sees them.
Now, so what, you know, I know you had quite an experience on the Queen Mary. Can you share that with the listeners?
Well, I sensed a lot of activity. It felt like in certain areas the air would just feel thick and heavy and goopy and draining. And it was just kind of, I mean, I think everyone knows what creepy feelings are. And this was definitely, there were a lot of creepy feelings. And I was just exhausted. You know, I went home and I went back the next day, and Mary Helen came over to me and said, "Oh, I tried to catch you last night, but you'd already left, to tell you that an entity attached itself to you." And I said, "What?" I mean, I know I felt tired, but geez, Louise. She showed me the picture. She'd taken a picture of, you know, there were probably 10 of us in the group. We were all just kind of standing around waiting to get into the area where the swimming pool, which is famously haunted, was. And she showed me this picture, and everybody's, you know, clear and in focus, and I've got this white sort of out of focus glob on top of me. It just looks like, you know, somebody put a big, if it were a film photo, it looked like somebody had a big fingerprint on it, on over my body.
Right.
And
right.
So she proceeded to do this ritual while I was laying on a table using tuning forks, which is part of, you know, what she does with the healing, to remove the entity and seal up my energy.
Mm-hmm.
And every few minutes, it took about, I don't know how long, it was 15, 20 minutes or something, but every few minutes she'd take a picture of me laying there, and but didn't show me till the end. But she was doing all this, and she said, "Okay, it's still there, but it's attached to your shoulder, and now it's smaller," and then it was gone. And then she showed me the pictures, and sure enough, the first picture, my whole body was in focus, and my head and shoulders were like blobs. I mean, just like black blobs. And then a few minutes later, it was just my shoulder was sort of a white, fuzzy area, and everything else was in focus. And then a little later, it was a very small area, and then I was finally completely in focus.
Mm-hmm.
That it had been removed, and she, you know, that my energy had been very porous, and that's why it had, you know, one of the reasons, I guess, why it found it easy to attach to me.
Right, right.
So by sealing up my energy, she said I was sealed up in Tupperware. You know?
Well, that was very fortunate that Mary Helen was there.
Well, thank goodness.
Right. What would you have done? You know,
I'd be dragging that thing around for God knows how long.
I think we might have Mary Helen. I'm going to check and see. Let's see.
Great.
Hold on just one second. Hello. Is this Mary Helen?
Hello.
Is it you, Mary Helen?
It's me.
Yay!
And I just actually gave a brief bio of you, and we have Karen Kay with us tonight as well, and she's on the other line.
Oh, great. Karen and her little friend.
Yeah.
I'm friendless, I hope.
Mary Helen, she was explaining what you did to get rid of the entity, and she said something about Arabic prayers and What do you do to get rid of an entity?
Well, the Arabic prayers came from our all mutual friend Washali. She came over because, you know, it was just one of those things. It was so juicy. I didn't want to do it by myself. I wanted to share it with somebody. And Washali was certainly a willing party to come over because this is her total area of expertise. And I had just noticed when she was laying on the table. Mm-hmm. Remember that picture I showed you the other night? Well, guess what? It's still there. And so we tag-teamed her. So, you know, it was kind of like two ladies in the mud wrestling pit, and we were walking all around the table and clearing this thing off of her. It was wild. You know, it was really, really interesting. But, I mean, it was clearly still there because when I was using the tuning forks, which are the solfeggio frequencies, and for anyone who's not familiar with those, they're attuned to the kind of the natural rhythms and frequencies of the chakras. And they just, when I was using them on it, they just kept going flat. And, you know, I knew something was up. And, you know, you could see clearly, you know, looking into her auric field that the, you know, that she just was, she looked fuzzy all around the top. Like I could see her, you know, I was looking at her from the, you know, stand at the end of the table and kind of clear all around the bottom half of her body, but she was just like fog all around the top portion of her body. You know, so I called in V, the big guns, and together we escorted this little friend back into the sunshine.
Well, I said to Karen, and you probably heard me, there was a lucky thing that you were there, you know.
Truly.
Well, it was funny because I completely didn't expect, you know, I was just snapping pictures on my iPhone, you know, as we were taking the ghost tour. And it's actually my friend who had come over with me, who's quite the orb photographer. But I was like, I snapped a picture and I looked back and I went, what in the world is that? And snapped it again and got it again, you know, and then took a picture away from her and it was completely clear. So it wasn't anything that was on the camera. You know, it was definitely with her. And funny, when we went into, I heard you speaking about the swimming pool area, I just got this massive blob, you know, kind of all over the swimming pool. You know, also when we were down in the boiler room, I don't know if Karen was telling you that the little girl who would have drowned in that pool, you know, over half a century ago, turned up very clearly in one of my photographs. You saw that, didn't you, Karen?
Yeah. That was me.
There was a maintenance man who was, yeah, with a big bow in her hair. And there was a maintenance man who was apparently crushed in a drill that took place on that ship, you know, many, many years ago. And in one of the watertight doors, you know, with ceiling shut during the drill, and it crushed him. And I really had an interesting encounter. I don't know if you heard the story that when we first got on the ship, Washali was broadcasting her Tuesday night Beyond the Veil show and asked me to sit in with her. And so I'd already been there for a night, and they'd only just arrived in that day. And so, of course, she's talking away and talking about the Queen Mary and all the things that go on. And she turns to me at the end of it and she goes, and so, you know, on the most haunted ship in America, have you seen anything unusual? And all I could say was, no, I haven't seen anything. And 5 minutes, we were finished with the show. And next thing, all hell broke loose. That's when it all started. So, as usual, they made a monkey of me because I opened my big trap and said, no, I haven't seen anything. Which I hadn't. But then, you know, we were all standing in her room and I was getting ready to leave, and there was like this old-timey flash bulb went off, kind of like, you know, like a vintage camera with a big bulb on top. And I saw it, Shally saw it, or Elliot saw it, and suddenly the temperature dropped in their bedroom. So we had broadcast from the sitting room that was attached to the bedroom, and the temperature difference between the two all of a sudden when that flash went off was just crazy. So I was like, oh gosh, that couldn't have happened 10 minutes earlier before I announced to International Radio Land that there's nothing going on here. And I walked out the door, and that ship is endless. I mean, the corridors just go on and on and on. And so, like, you look left, you look right, and it looks the same. There's these long hallways, and I could not. They'd already shut the door behind me, and I couldn't figure out which way I'd gone to get back to the lobby. So I ended up going left, and I'm walking down this long hall. There's not a soul in sight. There's just little doorways and passageways, and next thing I can hear giggling, and I'm like, oh, here we go. And I turn around, and behind me is this little girl, and she's in this white drop-waisted dress, you know, drop-waist with pleats at the bottom, and this huge big bow in her hair. Now, at this stage, I knew absolutely nothing about, you know, any of the stories on the ship or who was supposed to be on there, who was supposed to be haunting it, or what was going on. But very clearly, I saw this little girl, and she was giggling away because she knew I could see her, and I was giggling because I knew she knew I could see her. And Shally was telling me the next day that this little girl had drowned in the swimming pool, and then lo and behold, in this photograph that we took down in the boiler room, there is this girl, I mean, very clearly, with this bow in her hair. Anybody, if you look on my blog, my weekly blog, which is Mary Helen Hensley Author, .wordpress.com, I think, there's the picture is up. You can see the picture at the bottom of the blog, and it just, you know, it talks about my time on the Queen's Gary. And I had gone up after seeing this little girl in the hallway, and I met a friend of mine up in the bar, which is a, you know, really cool Art Deco new place. And she's sitting at the little table across from me, and I'm chatting away to her. And next thing, there was this man down in the corner of the bar, and he just caught my attention. And it wasn't because of his, you know, dashing good looks. It was because he was staring at me and, like, surprised that I was staring back at him. And, I mean, he was as in the flesh as I'm sitting here now. And he's, you know, standing there kind of surprised that I'm looking at him. And then, bang, next thing, he walks straight through the wall. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, you got to be kidding me.
I know.
And then he leans back through with the upper half of his body as if to say, you know, no, you're not seeing things. I'm here. And then bang, he's gone back through the wall. And that wall goes to the outside, by the way, you know, over the side of the ship. And so, you know, I asked about that. And the funny thing was I didn't get the sense that it was the guy that had been crushed. I got the sense that it was the guy who had accidentally caused the accident that crushed the guy. You know, so that was really interesting.
Yeah, gee. So, Mary Helen, now, you got into a terrible car accident, and that is when, I mean, did you have any powers of, you know, perception before this? I mean, any psychic inkling?
Oh, I did, yeah. I was born that way. when my mother was pregnant with me, she contracted the German measles in the first trimester, which is not good news for a baby. And during that time, my father had a visit, and he always just called it a celestial visit. And he was told during that time that not only would there be nothing wrong with me, but that I would have some unique gifts coming in, and that my purpose was to serve. And so from that day on, you know, as soon as I was old enough to understand, he kept telling me that I was promised. And that's why my first book is called Promised. And it wasn't promised as in I'm promised I'm better than you. It's as in I'm promised to come here with these abilities to serve my fellow man. And so from a very early age, I was conversing constantly with my grandfather. We called him Judge. And Judge had been a surgeon from Kentucky, and he also had these abilities. And he would sit and chat with me at night and tell me all these stories, you know, like anybody else's grandfather would sit and tell him stories of days gone by. And the only difference was that Judge was dead, and I didn't realize that this was unusual. And I would wake up in the morning and, you know, report in, and it thrilled my mother, of course. My dad was a Christian minister, and this was difficult for him. Now, he loved me, and he did everything within his toolbox to accept what I was doing, you know, because it was in his face. It was there, and it was real, and it was every day. But, you know, I always had the ability to go to sleep, dream something, and it would come true. You know, I knew when people were going to die before they died, and all of this kind of stuff. But, you know, as I grew up, I got into college, and I always joke about the fact that the most I was doing with these abilities was I was a cheerleader in college, and I would write down the score of the basketball game, stick it in an envelope. I'd go cheer at the game, and all my friends would come back to the room, crack open a few beers, and open the envelope to see was I right, and I was. And that was,
wow.
You know, that was the extent of me serving my fellow man. So, not much longer after I got out of college, this accident took place, and that was all she wrote. That was when it all changed. I was hit 75 miles an hour, and you know, my entire world changed, because everything that I knew, everything that I had been taught to believe, because to be honest, I don't think I had established, my worlds were so different. You know, the things that I experienced firsthand were very different than what I was learning in church. And when this happened, I just saw the world from an entirely different perspective, and all of a sudden that became my reality. So I realized, you know, when I went from this side to the other, that I wasn't following my path in such a way that I had agreed to, and I had actually set up for myself for this accident to take place, mm-hmm. in case I had reached that age, which happened to be 21, and wasn't utilizing my abilities. And that was a big pill to swallow, you know, that number one, that I had anything to do with this, and
no kidding,
that
no.
I had put this in my path, because, you know, I broke my neck in that accident. I, you know, lost my hearing in my left ear, detached a retina, smashed my left side of my body. I mean, you name it, I did it. So, you know, to find out that this was something that I had organized for myself, was I not following my path? You know, I got the picture, got it loud and clear, and, you know, the exchange for being able to come back was the commitment to dedicating the rest of my life to helping people squash their fears of death, for helping people to remember their true divinity, for helping people to reconnect with who they really are, and so I've been doing it ever since.
Yeah, and that is fantastic, and we so badly need that. I mean, so bless you for sharing your time and your knowledge and your healing with people. I know that you have a lot of clients in Ireland, and, you know, we'd love to catch you more over here. You come over here once in a while. I know you are in the Queen Scary. And but if anyone wants to get a hold of you for a private session, do you do healings over, like Skype or something, or can you
do
that?
Yeah, and anyone... Yeah, and they can set that up through Spirit One Seminars, which is just Spirit, O-N-E, SpiritOneSeminars.com, and that can be arranged at any time. And then, you know, I'm actually back in the States in a couple of weeks, and then I'm launching a book in my hometown of my father's quotes, and on the 4th of May in Martinsville, Virginia, and then I'll be back there again a few weeks after, and then I'll be back in LA in July, and back again there in September. So I'll be back that way for, you know, a few times this year.
So we can find out all that information on your website.
Yeah, and my website is just my name, MaryHelenHensley.com. So you can look that up, and that information is there. It's on my publisher's website, which is BookHub, the number 4, the letter U, .ie. And again, I gave my blog earlier, and people are welcome to follow that. They're usually fun and entertaining.
It is. It definitely
is. my life is one big cosmic ha-ha. So.
No, I was actually, Mary Helen, I was reading your blog the other night, and I was cracking up. It's great. It's so entertaining and so refreshing.
The story about John. Yeah, that's what you loved, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Shall I tell that to your listeners?
Yeah, and then, Mary Helen, would you mind taking a few phone calls and maybe doing some little... I'm going to ask the listeners if they can just stick to one question, because we have so many callers.
Sure.
Would you, okay, would that be fantastic? But yes, please do tell that story.
Well, the reason I'm telling this is because you cannot do this work. You cannot dedicate yourself to, you know, constantly having one foot beyond the veil and one foot in this world and trying to help people see the grand purpose in their lives without having a sense of humor. So that's why this story just cracks me up so much. With Shally's friend John, who is the most lovely fella, just such a dear heart. And he's so gentle. And he had come on the ghost tour with all of this equipment, you know, like this, you know, I don't know the proper terminology, an ovilus, I think, you know, which takes the electromagnetic frequencies and converts them into phonetics. So when there's high activity going on in the ethers, it can translate through this box. You know, you could actually speak to them. And for those who can't hear them in their head, unfortunately, like I do, they can talk through this box. They can ask questions in the box. It sounds like Stephen Hawking, you know, it's like, yes, no. You know, they can communicate. So he's going around the place, and this thing is going crazy when we were down in the boiler room. And so, like, all the lights are lit up, and, you know, it's chatting away through the box and all this. And bless John's heart, he was going, you're loved, you are love, you are light, and you're safe, and we love you here, we love you, and we're supporting you. Now move into the light, it's all okay. And he was just being so sweet and so gentle in his coercion of the spirits to cross over to the other side. And it was just so sweet. But I'm standing next to him, and I stopped just dead in my tracks, and I turned around and I went, did that just say what I think it said? And his jaw was on the floor, and they had to scrape me up off the floor. I was laughing so hard. I'm so professional. He had, you know, was talking into the box, and he's going, it's all okay. Everything's fine. You know, move on. It's okay. And this thing goes, fuck you. I was comatose after it. I mean, I was absolutely paralyzed with laughter. And, you know, it just goes to show you, you know, they have a sense of humor too. But then he was going, you know, it's okay if you don't want to let go. Like he was talking, I was talking, we were trying to move this thing over. And at the end of it, like this, you know, 5-minute soliloquy, this thing goes, yeah. I remain. Well, it was just so funny. So John finally goes, well, listen, I don't have a couch in my room, but sure, you don't need a couch because you don't have a body. But you can come back into my room and take a couch and, you know, you just make yourself comfortable, whatever. And so John walks back to his room, and he opens the door, and the thing is still on. And he walks into his bedroom, and the thing goes, horrific.
Because it was a big mess in there.
Oh God, it was just so funny. Oh, it was so funny.
So, I mean, did John deal with this thing in his room for the rest of the time?
Yeah, well, no, funny enough, we'd all gone up then into the bar just to sit down. The whole group of us, you know, were sitting down just having a chat. And Shally was sitting next to me, and she was sitting there kind of, you know, mumbling to herself, you know, moving this thing over. And she asked me what time it was, and I remember turning to her and going, it's 9 o'clock. And it turns out that John came back and asked her what time she had worked on moving this, and she said 9 o'clock, and it was exactly 9 o'clock when all the activity stopped. Yeah, so that was so he didn't have the roommate for the night.
Right, right. Wow, so I would have been like, oh, no, is he still in here?
I was in my own room, and at like 4:30 in the morning, I wake up and there is a man standing next to bed, and I'm going, now at this stage, I've seen so much stuff, I'm going, are you kidding me? I mean, are you kidding me? And this man is standing next to the bed, and he's holding this necklace, it looked like a big dripping diamond necklace, like kind of like a costume jewelry piece that you'd see a movie star wear. He's standing next to bed, and he's just going, I stole this. And I'm like, okay, dude, you know, well, you know, when? And he was like, 1939. And I'm like, well, I'm sure they're over it. You know, it's okay. You know, what are you doing here? Like, why? It's not like he was asking for forgiveness. It's not like he was just kind of standing there telling me he stole this necklace. And I'm like, I'm asleep. Get out.
Really?
And my friend was going, you're so blasé about all of this. And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Oh my God, that is so funny. I can't even imagine having I can't imagine having the abilities you do. You know, I mean, just I don't think I could deal with it. I mean, but we have a very patient caller who's been actually on hold for 43 minutes to talk to you, Mary Helen. So we are going to take her first and we'll see what questions she might have. We're going to pull her up here. 954, you are on Supernatural Radio.
Yes, hi. How are you?
I'm okay. How
Hello.
Are you?
I'm good. And, you know, I just wanted to ask if Spirit has anything to say to me, anything important that I should know or, you know.
Tell me your name, darling.
Sharon, I'm sorry.
Sharon.
Yes.
You know, this is funny because people always will do that, and I say, you know, one of the things about having psychic ability is that regardless of what people think, you know, like, it helps to know if there's something specific that you want to know about.
Actually, I have a daughter, and she had met somebody that she felt very connected to, but the guy hasn't called her in like a month or month and a half, but she still feels that he's special. Is this something that is, or is this a feeling that, you know, is just not this particular person? Her name is Amanda, and the boy's name is Justin.
You know what exactly is coming up? Immediately is coming up is that the purpose that this guy is serving for Amanda is that he has awakened something in her. He has, let's say, kindled, sparked, reignited a set of feelings in her that I think she had kind of lost faith in that she even had the capacity to have anymore. You know, and so it's not that he's necessarily the one, but by him coming in and by, you know, and remember, soulmates can come into our lives for 5 minutes. They don't have to be there for 50 years to serve their purpose. So I get a very strong sense that his purpose for Amanda was to come in and allow her to know that she could actually feel this way again.
Oh, wow. Okay. That does definitely make sense. So this
won't make another appearance in her life, but the gap that we're talking about, you know, you're speaking of, oh gosh, she hasn't heard from him in a month. She's not meant to hear from him right now because that sense of, you know, when we meet someone special and that sense of longing and wonder and wanting to connect with them, I think she actually felt like that didn't exist for her any longer, to know that she couldn't connect that way. You know, and she's quite young for it to be feeling that way, but you know, it happens at any age. You know, we can convince ourselves that love has passed us by. But I really think that his purpose was to ignite that feeling for her.
Wow. Very, very interesting. Okay. All right. Well, I do appreciate it. And thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Oh, my absolute pleasure. Yeah. And everything is going to be okay there. So don't worry about that.
Right, because she just kind of wanted me to ask if, like, he's going to be significant in her life. I mean, in terms of...
Well, funny enough, it's how we define significant. He already has been. He has been forefront in her thoughts for the last month. You know, wondering, is he going to call? Wondering, is he a special one? You know, he has created a whole set of emotions and feelings that she hasn't had, you know... I don't know if she's ever had it at this level, to be honest with you. So he has served an extremely significant purpose for her. Even if we never see him again, he has been very important in her life.
Right. This is true. This is true. Okay. Well,
you know,
thank
and,
you.
And so. probably the biggest mistake that people make too when a soulmate comes into the life is that we attach that feeling of recognition and that instant kind of take my breath away and that spark to the fact that we have to have a romantic encounter with them, because, you know, most soulmate relationships end up being extremely tumultuous if we stay in them for a prolonged period of time. People mistake the one-off soulmate relationship for what we call a twin flame relationship, which is that beautiful, congruent, singing from the same hymn sheet, you know, consistent love that lasts all through life. When a soulmate relationship is that really sparked up, passionate love, but throwing pots and pans and bringing up each other's crap, and, you know, that's really when we're seeing a soulmate relationship. So, you know, the fact that he hasn't jumped is actually, it shows a lot of spiritual maturity on his part, if this is, in fact, the role that he's playing in her life.
Right. Exactly. Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see how that plays out.
Let us know.
Yes. Okay. Hey, Sharon, thanks for staying on hold so long. I appreciate it.
Oh, and thank you so much. Thank you. Have a great evening.
Oh, thanks, Sharon. We really appreciate your patience.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, our next caller is area code 805. Okay, let me see. 805, you're on the air.
Hi.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. I'm enjoying your show. Yeah, I have a question, and my friend Virginia, she's been waiting too. We're kind of sharing a phone. But my question is, I wanted to know if a male partner was coming into my life soon, like a boyfriend or possibly marriage, soul partner.
And can we get your name, too? I'm sorry.
Sure. My name's Donna, and I'm calling from Santa Barbara, California.
Okay, thanks, Donna.
Donna, I'm not 100% sure it's something that you want. I think
If I find the right companion, I think it'll be nice. We could travel together, and, you know, it'll be very loving and giving, and we could be best friends.
It's funny,
that's
though,
what I'm looking for.
Yeah, it seems like though that you have a pretty strict set of criteria for that. Would I be wrong there?
Not too bad. I mean, I just don't want an alcoholic, and I don't want someone that's abusive, mentally, you know, abusive that way. I want someone that's very kind, and so I don't think it's too high. I mean, no, I don't. I'm not looking for
in the past.
I experienced both those things. Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's why I'm saying that I'm not 100% sure that's what you want right now. Because when I'm looking at you, when I'm looking at your energy body right now, The chakra system is really cool because it acts kind of like a radio frequency, a radio station, and it sends out a broadcast, okay? So we actually interact with the world around us through these frequencies. So long before you have two hands touched for a handshake, you have interacted with other people through your energy field first. And when I'm looking at your field right now, I'm actually seeing that your frequency is still sending out the need for that particular lesson. And I don't think that that's congruent with where you are emotionally or intellectually. And so this is kind of where what I do comes in handy when we're clearing the frequency. So my immediate suggestion, and I am most certainly not the only person on the planet who does this, is I would look around someone in your area who deals with frequency and vibration and who is very adept at clearing the chakra field, because what I'm seeing when I'm looking at you is that, yes, intellectually, yes, emotionally, you are looking for this new type of person to come in, but this isn't happening for you right now because your field is actually sending out a different signal. Do you know, those people came into your life, you know, to help you learn and experience and grow on some level that you asked for in spirit, and you've ticked that box. You've accomplished those goals, yet you haven't reset your frequencies for your new set of goals or your new set of criteria. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. But I think that I've nurtured myself and I've grown quite a bit in the 7 years that I've stayed alone, not having anyone in my life. You know, I've
agreed,
really gotten
completely.
To love myself. I've really gotten to love
absolutely.
Myself. And to, I went to Ireland for 3 months, too, and it was the most wonderful experience of the nature there. It was
oh, awesome.
So healing. Yeah, I was in a little town called Lepp near Glendore.
Sure.
Cork, County Cork. It was wonderful.
Well, look us up next time you're over. But what I'm saying to you is, like, I go, you know, I do this stuff for a living, you know, and I would consider myself fairly aware as far as, you know, where I'm headed, you know, on my life path and, you know, and the growth that's taken place from the different relationships in my own life. But I go on a regular basis to have my field
oh.
cleared. You know, we
oh.
shower, we wash our bodies, we wash our hair, we brush our teeth. And how often do you clean your energy field?
Mm.
I do mine, you know, I do mine twice a week. I use
well, I do it with my house all the time. My house,
well,
I
exactly,
do it all the time.
With your body, it's a totally different thing. So what I'm saying to you is that if your mind and your emotions and your spiritual understanding of yourself are not resonating at the same frequency as what your body is sending out from your last set of lessons,
oh.
then you're going to continue, even though you've grown past it intellectually, you're going
yeah.
to continue to attract people in because they're being attracted to that old signal. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
So it's really important that you clear that off. Now,
would Reiki do that? Would Reiki
someone,
be able to do that?
Yes, a Reiki practitioner could do that. But what you can also do is at least twice a week I do this. And to be honest, I actually do it a bit more than that. But I will take 2 big cups of Epsom salts in a very
okay.
hot bath, and I will go in, because Epsom salts are negatively charged ions, and they will go and they will neutralize the nasty stuff that collects in your energy field. And so if you submerge yourself in a bath of Epsom salts, it is a huge, huge addition to helping clear off your energy field. The other thing I would suggest that you do is you can go online, and if you're not familiar with what each of your chakras stand for, and I'm talking about the major chakras. I mean, we've got loads of them, but if we stick with the major ones, because, you know, we're talking about your purpose here on the planet, your friends, your family, your finances, your feelings of self-worth, how you love, you know, how you give and receive love, how you communicate, you know, how you connect with spirit. If you go through and you learn the basics of your chakras, and at night before you go to bed, if you will lay down and you'll go through the day's experiences from the time you get up until the time you go to bed at night, and you'll go through the day and go, okay, what challenges did I have in my third chakra? You know, that's all about my feelings of worth and value. Who challenged me there today? Did anything come up where I need to work on that? You acknowledge it. You place your hands on that chakra. You acknowledge it. You thank it. And then you get rid of it. And it means that you're not carrying this stuff over from day to day, because you accumulate it every single day. So if you get in a regular habit, I do this without fail. I could be hanging together with tiredness, and I will not go to bed without doing this. I can't afford to in my line of work, because you can imagine
wow.
the amount of people that I'm interacting with and all of their stuff, and I'd sit there churning over it and thinking about it if I didn't do it. So if you get into a habit of doing that on a daily basis, it will make massive leaps and changes in the type of people that you're attracting into your life, because you'll be able to clear out your own frequency that way.
Oh, yeah. I really need that help, definitely. I mean, I had a lot of bad experiences growing up, 2 rapes and just abusive family, and oh, my gosh. It was, you know, I think it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. So, yeah, definitely, I will do that. I take a lot of baths. I take a bath every day, and I go to the ocean every day, and I walk in the salt water for like an hour every day. Kind of clears me a little
fabulous.
Bit. Yeah.
Yes.
It's like people
brilliant. Okay.
Attach well, on to a lot of energy.
For help.
Right.
I will. I'll do the Epsom.
I can do that.
Do that
right, with you know.
Caller, did you want a question for your?
Yeah, here she is.
Virginia.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure, Donna. My pleasure.
Hello. Hi, Virginia. I'm Virginia.
Hey, Virginia.
Hi, Virginia.
How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
We're great.
We're okay.
So, oh, there's two of you on the line, huh?
Yes. Do you have a question?
Yes, I want to know what you pick up on the house that I'm going to be moving into. Oh, am I going to be moving into that house that I like? Hello?
Can you explain to me right now what your current status is, where you're living?
Well, I'm living in an apartment right now.
Mm-hmm.
Santa Barbara.
Okay. And, I mean, are you actively out looking for a house?
I saw a house that I want, yeah.
And is it in the same location where you are? Like, is
yeah.
it relatively close to where you are?
Uh-huh.
And is there, have you pursued getting the house? Like, are you actually...
Yes, I visit the house every day. I go by there and visit and
I mean, I guess what I'm asking you, Virginia, is, like, have you started a process where you're attempting to make this house yours?
Yes.
And is there something that's blocking? Is something coming up where that's not happening the way that you want it to?
I don't have the money to get that house.
That's a big block. Yeah,
I'm manifesting. I'm working on manifesting the money for it. I don't have a block about it. I'm not afraid that, oh my God, this isn't going to happen. I'm keeping the possibility open.
Right. And then are you, okay, one of the things with manifesting, are you actively creating a set of circumstances behind your hope for manifestation that would actually help you manifest the money to do this?
Yeah.
Or are you just kind of sitting back and waiting for it to come in?
No, I'm not sitting back and waiting for it to come in. I'm actively working on and having that money come in.
And is that not going well?
It's going. I mean, it's going. It's not. I wouldn't say it's not going well. No. I haven't gotten the $1 million, but it's going.
I just, you know, because I love to deliver good news, I'm having difficulty saying that, you know, I'm not seeing this happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean it's not going to happen, but certainly, like, I'm projecting him forward even, like, in the next 3 months. There is just something is popping up for me, you know, like almost like one of those little jack-in-the-boxes. Something's popping up as an obstacle. And, you know, and that's okay.
Well, I mean, I can tell you, I don't have $1 million out of my pocket to do it, but I'm actively working towards getting that money. So, yeah,
okay,
I don't
well,
have it. I can't go and give the guy $1 million and say, oh, here, I have $1 million. I'm working on
right.
winning the lottery, borrowing the money.
I'm working on $1 million
right.
too, Virginia.
You are, and what
you
do
know,
you
I would. Oh, gosh, I would love more than anything to sit here and tell you, you know what, you keep working on that and you keep trying to manifest that, but, you know, I'm also a realist, and I'm not, you're asking for my honest opinion about what's happening here, and at this particular moment, I'm not seeing it. But that doesn't mean that something fantastic's not coming around the corner. You know, while you might like that house or love that house or think it's fantastic, that might not actually be the place where you're going to best invest the money that does come into you. I just keep seeing a block come up on that, and I know that's not what you want to hear, but, you know, I'm here to tell you the truth, not to blow you full of sunshine.
Well, that's your truth, though. That's your truth.
You know, I don't want to discourage you from actively seeking the funds to find the place of your dreams, but I can tell you that I actually don't think this is it.
Okay.
Okay, and Virginia, we appreciate you, you know, being on hold for so long. We have a bunch of other callers, so I kind of want to get to, because they've been on hold for a long time, too.
Okay, thank
but
you.
I appreciate,
okay.
I appreciate you calling.
We'll keep our fingers crossed for you, Virginia.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Virginia, and have a really good time. Okay, so the next call we have is, actually, I'm sorry. The next call we have is area code 602. 602, you're on the air. What is your name and what is your question, please?
I'm Mindy, and my question is, can Spirit help me at all with my writing? Like, when is this finally going to take off? Are you there?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'm just, give me 2 seconds.
Actually, I have an agent. Just ask Spirit when my agent's going to finally read my manuscript. She's had it for months.
Is this the only agent that has your manuscript?
No, she is my agent. I mean, I'm contracted.
Oh, she is your agent.
She is my agent, yes.
Okay, and have you worked with her before, on projects before?
Yeah, we actually had worked on this project before, and we got interrupted. Now we're back working on it, and I feel like I got thrown at the bottom of the pile because I had to go on hiatus.
Right. And now, would this be your first published piece, or have you published before?
Yeah, my first one with her.
First one with her, okay. Oh man! Again, like I love bearing all the good news, but I'm just feeling again that sensation that you're getting about being on the bottom of the pile. I think your intuition is spot on that. You know, and eventually you're going to have to set a deadline for yourself about how long you're actually willing to wait. You know, and sometimes that means making hard decisions, and it means moving away from situations or people that aren't serving. And, you know, I know that's a big fat pain in the butt, but at the same time, you know, your objective is to get your work out there. You know, you have things that you want to share with people through your writing. And if it's sitting at the bottom of a pile for whatever the reason, it's not happening. You know, and I don't know what you can do to kind of light a fire under that and make it any more priority, because it's almost like, because you stepped back and you prioritized your own, you know, your personal self that you needed, which you needed to do, it was like, oh, well, your focus isn't here, your attention's not here, so, you know, I'm not going to give my focus and attention to it either right now. I just would be very, very cautious about letting it drag on for too much longer. I'd set a personal deadline for how long you're willing to wait. I mean, is that something you can do?
Sure. What's Spirit say about it? You got anybody out there talking
Pardon?
To me?
That's who I'm talking to you from. Okay. You know, I'm trying to read into your situation here, and I'm being told that it is imperative that you set a deadline for yourself, that you don't sit hanging out waiting for this for, you know, the next 6 months and nothing happens. You know, that's what I don't want to see happen, and I don't think that's what Spirit wants to see happen for you either, which means, you know, by setting a deadline of how long you're willing to wait, you know, and make it realistic, you know, don't make it next week, but, you know, make it within a realistic time frame that if nothing has moved at that stage, then you need to seek another avenue, you know, and I definitely think there is another avenue there for you. So, you know, that's the biggest message there on that one, is set that deadline for how long you're willing to wait and make it certainly attainable and realistic.
Right. I would also, Mindy, I would also tell her, the agent, that you really expect an answer within the next month at the latest, you know? Because I know how these agents can be, you know?
Okay.
And if you truly believe in the work that you finished, then, you know, tell her, you know, look, this is a really good book, and it deserves to be out there. I would love your help with it. If you can't help me, then I want to know if I should go on to somebody else, you know?
If you don't have any luck, email me, Mindy, and I'll put you on to my publisher.
Can I get on there, too?
Huh?
I said, can I get on there, too? No, that's actually a really good thing. Mindy, yeah, take her up on that, you know?
What's your email address?
D-O-C.
Mm-hmm.
M-H-H at gmail.com.
B-O-C as in boy?
B as in doc. Doctor.
Okay.
D-O-C. M-H-H at gmail.com. My
Gmail,
publisher
right?
is yeah
okay.
at gmail.com. My publisher's name is Niall. He is at BookHub, BookHub, the number 4, the letter U, .ie. And you can tell him I sent you.
Okay. BookHub4U.ie?
Mm-hmm.
I-E.
And even if it's, you know, even if it's the case of where you want to just go through and publish as an e-book and get the thing out there, you know, and get it onto Amazon,
right.
You know, that's a route that an awful lot of people are taking these days. I mean, I started out with, you know, I'm self-published. My self-publishing agent has become an independent publisher now, but, like, we evolved and grew through that together
mm-hmm.
because, I mean, I was waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting with agents, and I was going, look, this isn't about the money. This is about I made a commitment here to share my story and to share this message with people. And it has now since touched thousands of people. It's become a bestseller over here. And, you know, that's because I didn't sit back waiting for some agent to call me back. I actually got
right.
up, did it myself,
right.
and got the thing out there. And so it's now available. You know, people can go onto Amazon. I have 3 books that are a trilogy, and so they can get them on Amazon as the promised trilogy. And, I mean, it's far less expensive than you actually think it would be, and
mm-hmm.
at least it's out there. I'm sure everybody's got e-readers these days, so you can always publish the book in paperback after that, but at least get it out there. You want the energy and the momentum going because you're
right.
sitting stagnant now, and that's going to do absolutely nothing but frustrate you.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time. I do have a ton of people waiting.
Yeah, thank you, Mindy. And, hey, good luck. I would follow Mary Helen's advice, and I think it'll be fantastic.
Okay.
All
right.
I'm
thank
put
you very much.
On hold.
Thanks, Mindy.
Goodbye.
Okay, so our next caller is area code 928. Oops, hold on. Actually, shoot. I'm sorry. I'm a little discombobulated here. 928. You are on the air, and what is your name and what is your question?
Hi, my name's Ellen, and I was wondering if she could tell me what's going to be happening in my future.
Oh, Ellen, my favorite question.
Yeah, right? I know. It's like, tell me all about my future.
Tell me what's happening in my future. I'll tell you exactly what's happening in your future. If you sit and look at right now, if you were to take out a piece of paper, Ellen, and write down the very things that you're focused on at this particular moment in time. So presently, what has your attention? What are you focused on? What do you love? Where are you giving your energy? Where are you giving your attention? And that is what is going to manifest for you in your future. And that is not a roundabout way of trying to get out of telling you something because, number one, I won't tell people exactly what's going to happen in their future because it's like unwrapping your Christmas presents for you. But I do know that divine law works this way. Whatever has your attention at this moment is what is going to manifest for you in the next few weeks, the next few months, the next few years. So you need to sit down and take special care and attention to what you are currently focused on. If these are things that are enhancing, if they're positive, if they're moving forward, if they're loving, if they're serving you, then fantastic, go for it because that's what's going to come your way. But if you need to do a little bit of cleanup work because your attention is, you know, on worry, on debts, on, you know, not being loved the way that you should be, you know, if your attention is in all of these areas, that's what's going to come your way as well. So I can't stress that enough for you, that you need to look specifically right now at what has your attention, because that is what's coming down the pike for you. So I'd ask you, where are you right now? What currently has your attention?
My spiritual work.
Okay.
It definitely has my attention. I just seem to be impatient, I guess.
But you know what? Impatience is a good thing, because impatience is the exact kind of fuel that a fire needs to burn. And people always give impatience a bad rap, you know, and because we've been talking about being present and being in the now, which is a great thing to do. But the very side of our shadow self that we tend to not like, which, you know, in your case right now might be impatience, it's not happening fast enough, it's the very thing that is going to prevent you from becoming stagnant, from getting lazy, from not fulfilling your purpose. I think you have a very definite sense of purpose of what you want to do. And just because it's not happening exactly the way that you want it to right this minute doesn't mean it's not happening. But if that's what has your full attention, it has no choice by divine law but to work out the way that you're hoping it will.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and stick with it, because, I mean, you're on the path. You're on the right path, that's for sure.
Right. Yeah, I think she needed to hear that, you know, definitely. We all need to hear that. But, Ellen, thank you so much, and carry on, you know.
You know, I would say to you, in this day and age, it's really hard for people because, you know, people are trying to stay afloat and they're trying to also make a living, and particularly when you've chosen the path of spiritual work, you know, when you're a steward of humanity, when you're helping other people, sometimes it's not as financially rewarding as our, you know, our basic needs might require. And it frustrates a lot of really good people who mm-hmm. are so committed to their work and so committed to helping others. But the reality is that they have to eat and they have to have a roof over their heads. And so that also comes from, you know, it's not like the universe is trying to test you or anything. But it's you testing you. It's you testing your resolve as to how committed you actually are to this. And remember, just because you're doing the work, you know, your spiritual work, and that is your passion, the area that you earn the vast majority of your income doesn't always have to be your area of passion either. You can have your work and you can have your passion and you can fulfill that aspect of who you are and your commitment to serve other people, but also create another income in another area of your life as well. I'd say 80% of my friends who are working in the healing profession are doing that.
Right, right. I hear that. I mean, one of my friends once made a joke and he said, "What do you call an idealist?" And he answered, "Homeless." Because when you stick you know, you want to stick to your ideals, but it's hard to frickin' make a living, you know?
Absolutely,
anyway.
And that is a reality. It's the world we've been, you know, it's the world we've created.
Right, right. Okay, well, thank you so much for calling in. And we're going to take a little
thank
break
you.
Here. You're welcome. And we're going to take a short little break, actually, because we only have 26 minutes left. Actually, let's take one more phone call. It's Mary Lou Who is calling, and she's been actually on hold for a long time.
Hi.
Mary Lou, are you there?
I am.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm calling from New Orleans.
Oh, excellent.
Hey, Mary Lou.
Hi. So if I were to ask a question, I think I would like to ask if you see anything coming up in my love life.
Again, a loaded question.
I was afraid.
Can you be more specific? You know, is there anything coming up in your love life? Yeah. But, like, are you looking for something positive coming up in your love life?
Something positive coming up in my love life. Movement.
You'd be surprised. There are some people out there who are not necessarily looking for that. Are you looking for something committed in your love life, or are you looking for something that keeps your interest in your love life?
No, committed. Healthy. Something positively healthy.
Do you feel like you have moved past the lessons that you needed to learn from the previous relationships that you've been in?
Oh, God, yes, a long time ago.
I know. I'm Mary Lou. I'm like that, too. I'm like, wait a minute, I already learned these lessons 10 million times over.
Okay, were you listening when I was talking to the caller earlier about the energy field and the beacon that you're sending out?
Oh, yeah. No,
okay, we're talking about
baths, meditation.
What's that?
Clear, salt water baths, meditations, clear, cut cords. No drama, no trauma, no connections. I mean, is there anything else on the list I haven't thought of?
but you're actively doing all of this.
Absolutely.
And just out of curiosity, what are you, you know, have you got a very specific list of what you're looking to manifest?
You know, they say have one, and of course we all have them. And at the same time, be open in the flow of possibilities.
Absolutely, I get it. But I'm specifically asking, what's on your list right now?
What's on my list?
Yeah, what is it that you're, what's on your list that you're looking for?
A partner, not a child, not a parent, not someone that will control me, not someone that you have to take care of. You know, all healthy things.
Well, that discounts most of the guys out there.
Yeah. Well, that's
my theory.
And beings out there.
There's billions and billions and billions of people on the planet. Certainly, one is compatible with me.
Oh, well, there's more than one that's compatible with you, I'm sure.
See?
But I'm still, that's funny, though. If you give me just a second, I'm still, again, getting that block there. There is still something that is preventing you, and it's not, I'm not talking about taking salt baths and doing meditations. I'm talking about there is some lesson, some aspect of yourself that I think you think you're convinced that you have addressed, but I don't think you have.
I'm sure it exists, and if you know what it is, I want to know what it is so I can clean that out and move on.
Yeah.
I just want to mention, Raven Spear in the chat room says that you might be too focused on what you don't want.
No, I'm not.
Okay. I'm just saying what Raven Spirit says.
When something comes along that I don't want, I send it love, I bless it, and I just keep moving forward.
Right, right.
And let me ask you this. Do you have a deep sense that a long-term committed partner is supposed to be on your path this time?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Why?
Why?
Yeah, why? What are your reasons for thinking that you have a lifelong, committed, long-term partner coming up? That's what I'm asking. And I don't mean that in any kind of a smart way. I'm trying to get to the bottom of something here.
Because I can read energy?
Yeah.
And
whose energy are you reading?
I would assume I'm reading my own energy, which I have to get my own ego out of the way, which is why I called you, because your ego's not in the way of reading this. And I don't know if my ego's in
the
way.
Well, the reason I'm asking is because I'm seeing a bit of my own path popping up in front of me, which gives me an indicator that you might be doing something that's very similar. I am currently experiencing a lifetime where numerous people that I have had previous incarnations with are coming back into my life for brief periods of time. You know, they're making their appearance. We might have a fling, we might not, but we're connecting again on some level, and it's obvious to both of us when it happens that we've known each other before, that we're dealing with a soulmate type relationship, okay?
Yeah.
And I continue to follow that thread through my life and have remembered, whatever you want to say, that the whole idea for me for this lifetime was not to be in a long-term committed relationship, that I'm ending a thread of a series of lifetimes where these people are kind of coming in, saying hello, you know, it's like the final act of a play. And it doesn't mean this is my last time incarnating here, because I just simply don't think I'm that evolved. I still have issues and things on a human level that I know on a soul level that I'd like to come back and work through again. But I do know that I am currently at the end lifetime of a series of lifetimes that were committed to a certain set of accomplishments, let's say. And because of that, I have also come to realize that I don't have a, at least not in my anywhere immediate or near future, a long-term partner coming in. And I have now accepted that. But, see, I was conditioned and raised and lovingly told that, you know, true love and to have accomplished love in your life means you meet that one special someone and spend the rest of your life with them. So I had that spinning in my head constantly from the time I was a child. And the fact was that wasn't my path. That wasn't my purpose. And, you know, I have had wonderful, loving relationships in my life. I've also had some freaky, tumultuous ones as well. But if I had remained with any one of them, I would have never met the next. And each one of them has been so important in my own personal growth and development that I have completely let go of that idea, because I realized that that idea was something I generated while I was here. It wasn't something that had originated on my soul plan. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, and I am experiencing past life revisits, but I don't know how the story ends, to be quite honest, or where it goes.
Well, the reason I think my own life was flashing up in front of me was because I think you're experiencing something quite similar. I think later on, and I'm talking you know, maybe I'd say even beyond 10 years, like 10 to 15 years, that someone might come in and finally settle in where you can, you know, you can grow old together and you can, you know, you can do your thing. But I don't think you're finished with the people who have to come in order to give some gift back to you.
Okay. Is that,
and again, I'm here to be honest, not to tell you, you know, oh, I could go, oh, yes, Mary Lou, somebody fabulous is coming in 2 weeks' time. It's just not what I'm seeing. What I'm seeing is so much bigger than that. I'm seeing someone who is on a path of healing of the self, of, oh, my gosh, your third chakra is blown wide open, where you've discovered you and your personal sense of value and worth, you're loving you for the first time in a very long time. I feel a very deep connection with that, and that you've done really major work with that. And each of the people who have been in and part of your life in the past has played a mirror role for you to help you discover that part of yourself. And what I'm saying to you is I don't think that's quite finished yet. When it is, that person's going to come in. But until such time, continue to roll with it, because there are still a few more people to come in to gift you with something. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Well, I certainly would like to speed it up, because it's a whole lot more fun.
Yeah, I know, right?
It depends on perspective. I'm kind of having a good time the way I'm going.
Well, you and I are different that way, then.
But don't despair. I mean, it is out there, you know, but what I'm saying to you is that, like, I just don't think you have finished. I don't think those people from your past have finished making an appearance. And if you're in this long-term committed relationship with somebody right now, you miss all of the precious little jewels that each of them has to bring. And that's for your own personal growth. I mean, you're the one who set this up. You know, so don't let the head get in the way of what your soul has designed.
But Mary Helen, now, you know, this whole idea that we set up our lives before we get here, who's gonna sit there and agree that they're gonna end the rest of their lives out of their freaking mind? I mean, it's just very hard to grasp this.
I know I set this up, and I can follow the logic in every single part of it, and I can trace it back to a particular lifetime, and the carryover is to a T. It makes sense, but that doesn't mean that I have the rest of the story finished. Because it's being created.
Exactly. I mean, you're writing the story as you go along, but what I'm saying is I still think there's a few main characters to come in before that final character does.
Okay.
So it sounds like you're not necessarily going to be alone. You're just not going to be in a completely committed relationship, you know?
For a while. That's what she asked, was, you know, she wanted to know what was coming up, and this is what I'm seeing coming up. That doesn't mean it's not coming up. It just means it's not coming up right now. You know, and for God's sake, you wouldn't want to miss that, because that's, you know, that's the juicy, exciting part. You know, you've got some more people from previous incarnations who are dropping back in and handing something to you. It's like you're tidying up a nice little package for yourself, you know, and you don't want to miss any of the contents. You don't want to leave anything out. Because when it does come in, and when you've got that toolbox full from all of the gifts that these other people have brought in, the love that you'll know will be it'll be so satisfying, and you'll be so content in that, and you won't feel that craving that you do right now. And to answer your question there, Corinne, is who would set something like that up for themselves? An omnipotent, eternal, all-knowing, divine being who is completely connected to its source, who knows that it is eternal, who realizes that the earth school is something that you temporarily go in and out of, and that each life is a contractual agreement for your own personal growth and finite. You're thinking from your human mind. Human mind would sit in a situation and go, oh, my God, I would never. Who would do this to themselves? This is ridiculous. But when you're in your true state and you're looking at Earth going, okay, I'm going in this time and I'm picking this, 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 and this, and I need this challenge and I really need this hardship to make me grow. Remember, you're in a perfect state when you're deciding that.
You know, I've just heard something that seemed to really resonate with me, and I heard it today, and it was that we're not here to learn anything. This isn't a schoolroom. What it is a place to have experiences. It's just for the experience of the feeling of the experience. Not necessarily like a checklist of, now I'm in the sixth grade. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think it's like that. I can completely appreciate what you're saying, but again, I think that's kind of toying around with semantics. You know, an experience, a lesson, whatever you want to call it. I mean, we're here to know ourselves. You know, if we grow and develop out of that, yay. You know, if we're here to experience that, you know, what are we only better than we were before when we've had a new experience? So, I mean, you want to call it growth, you don't want to call it growth, you don't want to call it learning. You know, I think that's simply semantics. You know, I can completely agree with the, yes, we're here to experience. But with experience comes growth.
Well, I mean, is it true, Mary Helen, that we don't grow unless we suffer?
My dad had a great quote about struggle, and that struggle was inevitable to the human condition, that the way that Earth is set up, to deny the struggle is to deny your humanity, because humanity is imperfect in its perfection. And probably one of the most poignant things I learned when I had the death experience that I was shown was that, you know, we can sit and wish all we want to for peace on Earth. It will never be that way because it's not designed that way. Earth is the most magnificent dichotomy of light and dark. And because we have such horrendous circumstances here, and we have such hardship and such grief and such angst and such, oh, just torture. Yet on the other side, we have such love and such beauty and such light, that this is such a dynamic place to come and experience. It's such a dynamic place to come and know the full spectrum of what the human emotions has to offer, because you can get them all here. There are other places to incarnate where there are not these hardships, and we go there. You know, this isn't the only place by any means that a soul incarnates, but we tend to come here and stay here until we're finished here, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
So, you know, it's the human condition that struggle is a part of, and we know that to be true because show me a life where there has been no one who has struggled. I can't think of one.
Right. Even
you know,
when they
I
seem
don't personally.
Like even when they seem like they're not struggling, nothing is what it appears to be. You know.
Nothing is what, and yeah, and you don't know what's going on behind closed doors from somebody. I had that conversation with someone today. You know, who was. You know, having a situation where they were judging, you know, a person's particular life and how easy it was for them and how great it was, yet at the same time seemed like such a farce. And that's because they didn't, you know, they don't know what's going on behind closed doors for that person. And there isn't anyone in all, I mean, thousands and thousands. You know, I've adjusted over 150,000 spines in my career. I've had my hands on a lot of people, and I mean a lot of people. And not one have I ever come across who did not have pain in some area of their life, whether it was physical pain, emotional pain, spiritual pain. And so that to me is a consistency that says that is part of the human experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the idea, if you know where we go, we'd love to achieve that perfect state of vibration. That's great, but when you achieve that, you're not going to be here any longer because that's not what this place is about.
Right.
The beauty of being here is being in the moment, and being in the moment means that you accept what comes your way because it's by design by you anyway, and that you understand that everything and everyone who comes into your life is coming there at your own request. And at the end of the day, nobody can harm you. So, Mary Lou, when I would say to you, you know, in waiting for that, you know, we all want love in our lives. You know, we'd be lying if we said we didn't. It's the ultimate pursuit of a human being is to love and be loved. But the trip is long, strange, and wonderful for most of us. You know, it's there are a lot of people who would sit down and tell you that they've had extraordinary love in their life, but I don't know anyone who would tell you that that extraordinary love didn't come with a price, that there was some grief or hardship attached to that love. Whether they loved so hard that when they lost the person, their life was completely devastated. Whether loving that person meant having to sacrifice a piece of themselves in order to maintain the status quo within the relationship. There has never been someone who has been in a loving relationship where there wasn't some price to pay.
Right, right. Well, that was...
So enjoy the journey, you know. Enjoy what's coming along your way. And yes, I do think that there will be love, but what I do see, and that's what I'm here for, is, you know, to tell you that I don't think you're finished getting the little nuggets of wisdom from the people from your past who are making an appearance, which again then says to me that you're experiencing a lifetime where you're finishing a thread of lessons. You're finishing, and not even if you don't like the word lessons, a line of study. It's like if you were at university and you were studying a course, and it's like that course is coming to a close. And so right before that comes to a close, all of your, you know, professors that taught you during that course come in and they each give a little speech and they get a little snippet and they give you one more little nugget of wisdom, and then you move on to the next line, the next course of study.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think is happening in Mary Lou's love life there, you know, that she's coming to the end of a thread, that there are still more things to give before she settles down with one person and has that, you know, nice vibration of that kind of content, you know, love where you're singing from the same hymn sheet.
Yeah. Mary Lou, I hope that Mary Helen has helped you with what she said.
Okay.
And I appreciate you holding and for calling in tonight and listening. We just have one more caller, and we have about 5 minutes left, so I just want to quickly take that next caller.
Thank you.
But Mary Lou,
thank you so much.
All
right. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay, and just one more, Mary Helen. I know we're testing you out tonight. We have area code 604. What is your name and what is your question?
Thank you. Thank you, and I appreciated your language in the last conversation. My name is Charlene, and I'm calling regarding love.
Okay, Charlene, I know love's a big subject, but we have about 4 minutes left. So.
Okay, I'm seeing a man.
I'm seeing a man, and he
is the love of my life. So, okay, sorry, go ahead.
Mary Helen, she's saying she's seeing a man, and how important is he to her life right now? Is that what you said?
He's the love of my life. I very much want to be growing old with him, and we've talked about that. But there seems to be an awful lot of things that come in each other's way. So, and I don't think they're signs. It's more like, please, if you've got anything to say, that'd be great.
What's the actual question?
Do you see a future with the two of us where we will be cohabitating or spending, sincere time together, I guess, physically?
I don't think you do. I think you're doubting that. And my question is why?
Oh, I guess I just feel a little alone at times. Well, I am physically alone. That's a big question.
Yeah. What are the circumstances there? Is he tied up with somebody else?
No. It's his work things that are going on. He's self-employed, and he has people who work for him. So that gets very consuming for him. Anyway.
Are you physically located in the same place?
Kind of. He's about 30, 40 kilometers away from me.
So how often are you seeing him?
Not as much as I'd like to.
And how long has this been going on?
We were at a space where things seemed to be moving ahead forward really well. And then things seemed to kind of progress where it was almost like a wedge was being driven between us. For different circumstances. So how long? Probably since the fall is when things have really started to get hard. A year ago, my son and him had an altercation, and that's made things a little difficult. But he's still around, but he's busy selling his business and working through things, right?
I think his business is a good distraction for him. I definitely don't. And this doesn't make him a bad person in any way, shape, or form, but I don't think he's as committed to this as you are. And I think that the altercation with your son and the fact that work is so easily distracting him is a very easy way for him not to give this his full attention.
Okay, so you don't feel that I'm as important to him as he is to me?
It's not that you're not as important, but the role that he's playing for you is, remember, every individual who comes into our life is playing a role for us as we are for them, okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think that there is an element of you that is basing your personal, your worth, your value as an individual. I think some of that is hinging on how and how often he loves you. And the fact that you're not the focus of his full attention right now is shaking you in that third chakra. It is shaking you in a space where you're not feeling as good about yourself as you would if you had his full attention. And that might just be the role that he's supposed to be playing for you. Because the whole idea of this is that you need to be your source of love, full stop. That anybody else coming in is icing on the cake. But that if you're not fully committed to loving yourself and being content with who you are, regardless of whether somebody is there or not there, or giving you their full attention or not giving you their full attention, then I actually believe that that's the role that he's playing for you right now. And until such time that you move into a space where you are completely and wholly in love with yourself and able to profess that and say it, I don't think he can move out of the role that he's currently in. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I never, okay, thank you.
You know, again, it's that when we were talking before about that energetic beacon sending out, you are sending out a signal right now from that third chakra that you're not worthy of his full attention and love because he's not giving that to you. And so you continue to send that out. He continues to respond to it because that's what he's programmed to do. He is there to serve you. He is a role player in your life. He is a soul that has agreed to come in and be part of your life because on a soul level and from your soul group, he loves you eternally, as does everybody in your group. But if you continue to send out the signal that I'm not okay by myself, I'm not feeling loved or worthy since you're not loving me the way I want you to, then he has to keep playing that role. Again, divine law says so.
Right.
The moment you don't need him to do that is the moment that it either comes to a full end or he comes fully back into your life.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Thank you very much.
So start loving you, girl.
I will. I am, and I'll work. I'll give it a little bit more attention. Okay.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously do that. Because I really think that's the message you're sending out there, and he's just having to naturally respond to it.
Right. Thank you. Yes, that makes perfect sense and nicely put. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you for holding, and I hope that Mary Helen, she said a lot of really good stuff, and, you know, we all need to hear what you just said, Mary Helen, because we so often overlook our own selves in hopes of having someone else in our life. And, you know, my mother used to say, you know, if you love yourself and you believe in yourself, you will attract anybody. And she's right, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice word.
Well, I mean, the lack of self-love is the great decimator of any relationship. The very moment that someone puts the responsibility of loving them on someone else is the demise of the relationship.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
Thank you so much. Very good.
You're welcome. Good luck. Let us know what happens, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, well, are there any other messages for me?
I think that, to be honest, I would work solely on that one right now because that is primary. That is like it's screaming off you. And I guarantee you that any other little issues that you have going on in your life stem straight back to that same message.
Yeah, good call. Okay,
so
thank you. I
focus
will.
Focus on that one. Knock that one out first before we move on to anything else, you know?
Okay.
Because it's a big one.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Okay. All right, well, thank you so much. I will call in again.
Thank you.
Take care, darling,
thank
and thanks for calling in.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, Mary Helen, quickly, we are like, I think we're already at the end, but we still have some listeners on the phone. Can you tell people how to reach you?
Absolutely. So my website is maryhelenhensley.com. My booking agent for Skype sessions or to see where my seminars here are in Europe or in America is spiritoneseminars.com. If anyone wants to follow my weekly blog, it's maryhelenhensleyauthor.wordpress.com. And my books, which are condensed now into one, the Promised Trilogy, are available on Amazon. And Within the next week, if anyone goes to my website, there is a meditation. When you were talking about who in the world would wish this in their lives, there's a meditation that I've done called the Planning Room, where it takes you back to that space where you are actually planning the current incarnation that you're in. And it talks you through that. And that's available for free download. And give it about a week before they get it up there. But if people will just check in, that will be on the website as well for you to listen to and download and have at your disposal anytime. So those are the best ways to get in touch. And then also my newest book is coming out, and again it'll be available on my website and at the bookhub4u.ie website, and that's the Pocket Coach. And these are motivations for life. So it's a month long book of quotes by my father, who was a master motivator and a coach, and just some fantastic words of wisdom. And across from each quote, there's a blank page on each day for the morning and the evening for people to write in their own personal reflections. And it's meant to be a legacy that can be passed on to children, grandchildren, friends, because that's the way my dad did it for me before he died. So I've passed that on for other people to use. So keep an eye open for that. That's out next week, The Pocket Coach. And, yeah, that's everything. And I cannot thank you enough for having me on the show.
No,
and
thank
I'm very
you,
grateful
Mary
to my jet lag for allowing me to be awake.
No,
jet lag comes in handy.
I really appreciate you staying up late to talk to us. I mean, you're just a gem. You're so... You're like gold. I love talking to you. I've got to have you on again if you will be willing. And
absolutely. At any time, and I mean that.
Okay, good, good. Because I have so many
just
more questions.
Email me and let me know. I'd be happy to sit in any time.
Definitely. Oh, my God. Mary Helen, I'm so excited because, I mean, you're just amazing. And, you know, handling, like, I've heard so many psychic mediums handle phone calls. But the way that you answer these questions tonight is like no one else I've heard. So, and
well, thanks. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
The whole point is keeping it real. It's, you know, this isn't, people think that being psychic or being a medium, you know, like, you know, that I'm sitting here with my gold hoop earrings and breathing my incense and all this kind of, look, I'm just a regular person. I clean the cat box. I fix my kids' lunch boxes. I take out the trash. I just happen to talk to dead people, too. You know, and it's that's my objective is to keep this very real for people and to let them know this is attainable for them too. Most of the problem with people is that they're not following their own intuition, you know, and so because I do it every day and I'm just practiced at it, I'm able to help people guide along and find that. And the one thing that you will not get from me is a non-truth. You know, I'm not going to tell something just to make someone feel better. My objective is to make someone overall feel better about their life and their purpose and their mission. But, you know, sometimes we have to tell people something they don't really want to hear in order to get them into a space where they're better serving themselves.
Right, right. Yeah. No, I totally agree. I mean, it's not always nice to hear, but a lot of things aren't nice.
Yeah, you know, and the reality is it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Helen, you know that Karina is the purple plate person, don't you?
I do.
Okay, good.
I was in a healing session today with somebody and pulled my purple plate out of my handbag, and she's gone on and is ordering one today.
Oh, God.
So I'm pushing it here. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, so anyways, I will be in touch, Mary Helen, and listen, have a really great evening. I hope you sleep well, and I will talk to you very soon, hopefully, and we'll get you back on.
Yeah, I really look forward to that, and that'd be great, and I mean that. Anytime I can help out, I'd be delighted to.
Yeah, and we'll promote the new book, too, when you come back on, you know?
Super.
Okay,
right,
listen. Thank you, and take
it
easy.
Thank you, Mary
we'll
Helen.
Talk soon.
Okay, thanks, Karen. Good to talk to you again.
You too. I love listening to you. I applied everything you said to everybody else to me. It worked great.
Yeah, I just have to go apply it to me.
All right.
All right. Good night, guys, and thanks a million. Lots of love.
Bye.
Hey, you too. Thanks, Mary Helen. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Karen, are you still there? No.